Welcome to Warbirds in Review. You've been sitting here for a little while, some of you. We're delighted to have you. We're really pleased today. We have Connie Bolin, who is a pilot extraordinaire, flown just about everything out here, and is really the driving force in Warbirds in Review, which, in my opinion, is one of the best things we do here. So I'll introduce her, Connie Bolin.
Thank you, Bill, and to everyone, welcome to now the second Warbirds in Review session for 2015. It is my honor to work with so many wonderful people, and the owners and pilots, the veterans, all the volunteers who make this happen, and you people who support us and have made this the place to be at Oshkosh. We thank you for that. Each day at 10 and 1, which you are familiar with at this point, we will have a unique presentation with an aircraft. Today's feature, as you can see, is the FG-1D Corsair. Thank you to the Kavanaugh Flight Museum in Addison, Texas, for having this beautiful airplane here. Jim Kavanaugh, who's, I think, a little camera shy. I'm not sure Jim's going to be here with us, but Doug Jeans, their director of operations, will be talking about this beautiful airplane. I have to take a few moments to say thank you to our sponsors. Scott's Miracle-Gro Company is our presenting sponsor for Warbirds in Review, so we thank Scott's Miracle-Gro Company and Jim Hagedorn, who flies the old Crow P-51, has a great time at Oshkosh and enjoys doing things for the veterans and all the people who attend here. So to Jim, a big thank you, and we have other... Thank you. Very good. Yes. When you're looking at grass seed, buy Scott's. So to Jim, and we have also supporting sponsors, Jelly Belly Company. If you see the Jelly Belly candy, thank you to Herm Rowland, who is Jelly Belly, and our many other sponsors, the Fagan Fighters Museum in Granite Falls, Minnesota. They're huge supporters. And to each of you who would also like to be a supporter, we do accept donations. This is absolutely, totally funded by the generosity of people. And yes, we have big donors, but small donors, or if there any of you have a company, or if out of your own pocket you'd like to be a big donor, we will graciously accept that. But for now, it is my job to say thank you and to tell you that I now reintroduce Bill Harrison, who actually has flown the Corsair. So, Doug Jeans, when you get up here, I haven't flown a Corsair yet, so, you know, we could work that out. Yeah. Bill Harrison, thank you.
Thank you, Miss Connie. Thank you for all you've done to make this program a success. We are very fortunate today. The airplane of the day is, I hate to say this with my wife in the audience perhaps, and that this is my girlfriend, always has been. I love the Corsair. If you have to have one airplane, that's the one I would have to fly. It's really great. But we do have this beautiful example of an early model Corsair from the Kavanaugh Flight Museum, which is at Addison Airport in Dallas, Texas. If you ever get a chance, don't miss it. Jim Kavanaugh has put together a marvelous program of education, and he's done great. And his executive director is with us today, Doug Jeans. Doug, we'll turn it over to you, and then we'll talk a bit about Corsairs.
Okay, sure will. Thanks, Bill. This is also Stuart Milson. He's our chief pilot, so he's going to talk about it a little bit. We want to sit down? All right, we'll do that.
I'm old.
Well, just talk a little bit about the markings on it first, because as Bill said, it's made up as an early model. Kind of the history of the airplane, in the 50s or so, it was surplused out, and a fellow bought two of them for $2,500 from the government, and kind of messed around with them. They sat a lot, and then another guy got them, and in the late 60s, he had some young guy, 24, that wasn't young compared to most pilots at that time, but fly it for the first time back from an air show, and he took off without the tailwheel being locked. And I've done that before, but it's not fun.
But it's a wild ride.
It's a wild ride. It wasn't bad on takeoff. It was the landing that was wild. But that's when I realized it. But anyway, rolled it up in a ball, and it sat for a long time. Another fellow picked it up. Harry Doan actually got it and went looking for a set of wings. and found what we always thought were Dash 5 wings. There's a Dash 5 sitting out here. It has the 20-millimeter cannons on it. But in actuality, these are Dash 4B wings. So the Dash 4 actually had, the B model had the 20-millimeter cannons. Well, back in the early years with the Corsair, the F4U, they built a 1C model, and the C had 20-millimeter cannons. The difference was the barrels stick out far. If you look at this one compared to the Dash 5, the barrels are sticking way out. So when we were doing our last restoration on it, decided to do something a little different since it didn't have the right wings to begin with. So we extended the barrels out to make it look like a 1C. So if you're looking at it and say 1C, what is that? That's how it's done.
Quick question for you. Sure. Did the 1C have metal covered aft section of the
wing? No, it still had the fabric.
Still had the fabric?
Yeah, still had fabric like the earlier ones. So going back through the history of the airplane, so it kind of came along. A guy named Charles Arsburne bought it, restored it through the years, and then a fellow in Louisiana named David Johnson bought it and had it down in Lafayette. And I met David sometime in the 90s and at ICAST, which is an air show convention, and David asked me, he said, "Doug, would you like to fly the Corsair?" And I said, "Sure." So I ran into him a few months later, and he said, "Hey, you ever going to fly my Corsair?" And I said, "Golly, I didn't know you were serious. I just thought that was an awful nice offer." So Alan Henley, who's with the Aeroshell team, kind of headed it up. He checked me out in it, and that was a lot of fun. It's a great airplane to fly. So we flew it around for a while, and then Mike Burke, who flies a lot of Corsairs for different people, was taking it to an air show. I'm going to back up, because David Johnson sold it to Paul Morgan out of England. So I took it down to Florida for Paul to fly it and ride in it, and I got to meet him and his wife, and just had a great weekend with them all. He bought it, took it over to Europe, and he was killed in a Sea Fury accident. So his wife called me up and said, "Doug, Paul really enjoyed flying with you. This has a back seat. Enjoyed flying with you, knew how much you loved the airplane. You know, since he's gone, we're going to sell the airplane. I'd really like for you to have it." Well, I wasn't in any kind of way to be able to buy it, so talked to Mr. Cavanaugh. Mr. Cavanaugh got it, brought it over, and rebuilt it, or finished it up, painted it, got it going, and Mike Burke was flying it to an air show. We had an oil cooler split. Now, the oil cooler, as you can see, is in the leading edge of the wing. Well, the oil goes out, you can't see it. It's just kind of out of sight. So just all of a sudden, the engine ran away, seized up. He did a great job putting it into a plowed field. So we brought it back, started rebuilding it. So since we were going to repaint it, we decided to come up. That's when we decided to make it into the sea and repainted it. So Archie Donahue was an ace in a day twice in Corsairs, once in Guadalcanal, which with the VMF 112, which is how it's painted, and then later on the Bunker Hill. And so I met Archie again back in the late 70s, early 80s, and he helped me. He was with the CAF. He was head of operations, and he kind of took me under his wing and taught me a lot of things. And it was 10, 15 years later that I realized that he was an ace or famous or anything. I didn't know. He was just a great guy. So I wanted to honor him. So we painted it up to in his markings. He came out, got in the airplane, and we just had – one engine problem after another, and it took us about 6-7 years to finally get up and flying, and Archie passed away in the meantime, but we have it there as an honor to him.